guys, and welcome back. So today's story is about the deadly consequences of hazing and just how truly vicious and violent college students can be. Robert Champion fell in love with music at the age of 5 while attending his first parade in Atlanta. He was especially mesmerized by the drum majors, and this helped cement his lifelong love of music, performing, and sharing this passion with others. Following the parade, Robert would make music with household utensils and would use towels to make a cape to look like the drum majors he saw at the parade. He would use a broom handle as a baton and capped it off with cowboy boots. While wearing the homemade uniform, Robert would perform his own renditions of what music marching bands play. His parents encouraged this love of music and bought him actual instruments to use rather than pots and pans. In fifth grade, Robert played the clarinet and his talent began to skyrocket. He also taught himself how to play the keyboard and the drums. Teaching himself these instruments helped reignite the passion and love he had found for the marching band, and he officially set out to become the youngest drum major ever at Southwest DeKalb High School. So Robert officially succeeded in that goal and performed for huge crowds as a member of the marching band. He actually led the way for the drums at the Rose Bowl in California, the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade in New York, and at home in Eggleston for Christmas parades in Atlanta. Robert put everything into marching, and he just, like, essentially came alive while he was performing. So after accomplishing his first goal, Robert set his sights even bigger. He wanted to become the band director of his high school after graduating from Florida A&M, and to share his passion for music and to encourage others to share in that. He was ecstatic to get into A&M and became the section leader for the clarinets. He knew it was being performed. He was always on time, and he was like the perfect leadership example. And he then became a drum major, which is head of the line. And, you know, this is what he was envisioning and doing as a child. He has the cape, the baton, and he essentially on the field for the marching band is the lead person. He was known for having 10 drum mates, and you have to audition for the drum major role, and they're immensely selective. So the fact that Robert was able to be one of the 10 is such a huge accomplishment. So Robert was actually brought on as a drum major as a junior and would essentially be carrying the mantle when the other seniors left. So people didn't entirely like Robert having the full authority over the band, and there were some speculations that he was gay and people were not a fan of that and would just every now and then yell gay at him. He also was not big into hazing, which will come up later. And so Robert would tell his mom that people wanted him to, quote, do something, and that if he did it, he wouldn't get any sleep. And this thing that he told his mother about, unfortunately, was essentially what led to his death. So the last time he would speak to his mother would be on November 17th, and it was the first time that he would march in the Florida Classic as a drum major. So I am not huge on football. I'm pretty sure the Florida Classic is Florida A&M, and there's another Florida college that they play, and the Florida A&M marching band was called the Marching 100. I mean, if you watch videos, they're incredible. They're so precise. There's so much energy. And I have to imagine that this was such a joy for Robert to be participating in. So November 19th, 2011, a 911 call comes in that one of the drum majors is on the back of a coach bus He threw up and now he's not breathing. So police arrive to the hotel and, you know, they're told by other members of the band that Robert just passed out on the bus. And they're thinking, like, maybe it's heat exhaustion, and they have no idea what it's from. And he gets brought to the hospital after the, like, EMTs relieve the students of doing CPR. The band director then calls Robert's mom to tell her that he's passed. And no one could understand how, like, a seemingly healthy student could just die like that. He just collapsed in the back of one of the coach buses and died. So the bus was processed the same night, and the police are talking to every student on the bus to figure out what happened. And they begin to find conflicting testimony, and police were beginning to feel like the students that were on the bus knew more than they were saying. So, like, they talked to one student, and they'd be like, oh, I wasn't on the bus. And then they would talk to another student, and they would be like, no. They'd be like, Johnny was on the bus. So there were just multiple inconsistencies that started to raise some red flags for the police, that there was something, that people were covering something up, and they knew more than they were saying. Hours after his death, it already made the news, and Robert's mom immediately began to think about what was done to her son on the bus by the other bandmates. Because she has this horrible feeling and thinks that there's no way that her healthy son just collapsed on the bus. She had this feeling that the bandmates were involved. So Robert's death very heavily affected the football team too. And questions are beginning to go around campus, like, what happened? Why? And then Robert's autopsy results come back. And he died of blunt force trauma with soft tissue hemorrhaging. Robert did not die of heat exhaustion. He was beaten to death. And police had gone, you know, to talk to all the students, and they're like, he just came back and he was dead on the bus. Which is not possible because of the blunt force trauma. So, after the 19th, the family heard absolutely nothing from Florida A&M or the DA, now that it was, like, officially discovered and determined that Robert's death was homicide. So Robert's friend came forward to talk to the police and a fellow drum major. He, like, essentially pulls back the curtain on the dangerous and violent hazing that the band team members partook in. Robert was beaten to death, and Keon Hollis, his friend, told them that it was quote-unquote ritual in the marching band. So, this is vicious, this is violent, this is horrible. So, essentially, this hazing is called Crossing Bus C. And it was like a secret initiation ritual for members of the Marching 100, which was the marching band. So, what happens is you run through the middle of the coach bus, and you're pushing through everyone, and, like, the members of the band are, like, punching you, they're hitting you, they're kicking you. They're, like, essentially blocking your way from getting from the front of the bus to the back of the bus. So that night, there were three people that were, like, crossing bus C. There was a young woman that went first. Keon went through. And then Robert was the final person to go through. And Robert condoned hazing, and he, like, thought it was stupid. And, you know, he's thinking, like, I'm the leader of, not in a cocky way, but, you know, I'm the leader of the band. I have this role as drum major. Like, why do I need to put myself through the, like, physical limitations and just going through hazing when I, like, why do I have to go through that to show? And so this, in turn, makes the band members think that Robert wasn't strong enough, that he didn't go through the physical tribulations to become a leader, which I don't, as a member of the marching band, I really think that your ascent to leadership should not be based on physical attributes and what you can and can't survive, rather than your talent as a musician. But clearly, the Marching 100 has different requirements as what they think leaders should be able to go through. So, bus C was a percussion bus, and the leader of the section was Dante Martin, who's the quote-unquote president of bus C. So, that night, there was a text from Dante, who had asked Keon if he was going to, like, pass bus C, and he confirmed he was. And in the hotel room, Keon told Robert that he was planning to cross, and Robert initially wasn't going to, but he did change his mind once he had spoken to Keon, and Keon said he was going to cross bus C. So after 9 p.m., Robert and Keon get to the bus, and it's parked in the back of the hotel parking lot. And they get on, and it's pitch black. And, you know, all you see is shadows. And Keon crosses and passes bus C first. He was hit with mallets and was on the brink of passing out. There was something else that's incorporated into passing bus C called the hot seat, where you're in a seat on the bus and people just come and wail on you and beat the crap out of you. And after that, you get up and you're like holding the railing like by the baggage area of the bus, and people just hit on your chest and your back as you're making your way through the back. And he was crying out while being hit, and they held him back, and they're smacking him in the front and the back. And you have to keep pushing to make it to the back, even as you're being pushed and punched. And he was dragged back to the front as he got close to the back. And, you know, they really wanted Robert to physically suffer during this because they wanted him to prove that he was a leader. There were people in the luggage space that were stomping on him and wanted to beat him up and make sure that he felt an immense amount of pain because he didn't like hazing. And so this was like, they took advantage of this hazing and were like, we don't like anything about this guy. We're going to take advantage of, you know, it being dark, us being able to apparently bring, you know, I guess weapons or other things on the bus to use in the hazing, and just to really go physically off on somebody. It was personal. It was just so targeted, and they're, obviously, the amount of violence was intensely high for Keon and the other girl who had passed cross bus C, but the fact that Robert was the only one that died was very telling, and just knowing sort of a little bit of the back history of the way that some of the band members viewed Robert. And so Keon has finished, and Keon is in the back of the bus, and he's watching everything happen to Robert, and he wanted to get up and pull Robert to the back, but this isn't part of the hazing. Like, they're not allowed to do that. And, you know, Keon had said, too, that his cross through bus C was not as violent and vicious as the one that Robert received. And there isn't much known either about the other female member that was hazed. But I have to imagine it wasn't as personal as Robert's turn either. So Robert did cross bus C, and once he got to the back, he starts to tell Keon that he's tired. And they get off the bus, and Keon notices that Robert didn't get off with him, and he winds up getting a call a little bit later saying that something was wrong with Robert. And so this ritual is, it was very much organized, and it was put together by Dante Martin and the quote-unquote president of Bus C. And he essentially was the one who was described as the one that set this up, and just the vicious hazing of the band members in general. He kept texting the people who were going to be hazed repeatedly to see if they were going to cross Bus C, you know, in a sense kind of like pressuring them as well. So there were also a handful of other band members who were very key and named in statements to police. Jesse Baskin was hanging from the overhead luggage bins and kicked Robert repeatedly. Ben McNamee was using straps against Robert and overly physical. Caleb Jackson, aka CJ, was very violent, and he ripped Robert back from being at the back of the bus and, like, crossing Bus C. And I don't really know how CJ got wrapped up in this, because essentially he was not a member of Florida A&M and or any other Florida college, so I'm assuming he was friends with the other guys, but he was not a part of the marching band. Yet he was taking part in this violent hazing of another individual. So, in total, 13 people are charged with Robert's death 6 months later. The marching band he loved turned on him and essentially murdered him. So this exposed how widespread hazing was and how little was done to stop it, even with an awareness that it was going on at Florida A&M. The band director told the students previously what the consequences of hazing were and made them sign a document saying that they, like, wouldn't haze. The school knew the violence that was going on in the marching band. In 1999, another student had kidney failure after being struck with one of those stupid paddles that you make in, like, a fraternity or sorority, nearly 300 times. In 2001, a trumpeter was left hospitalized due to a similar incident, and 3 weeks before the Florida Classic, a female clarinetist was beaten so badly she couldn't walk. So you have these incidents of very, very heavy physical damage being done to these band members, and essentially the only thing that's really being done is them signing a piece of paper, like, promising they're not gonna haze. And all of a sudden you have this fourth major incident of hazing result in someone's death. So they were fully aware, and they really did what they could to kind of cover it up and keep it under wraps. And allegedly, too, there were Florida A&M alum on the bus partaking in the hazing, and they were telling the students, like, the current students, what to and not to say to police, and, like, coaching them on replies, and more focused on a cover-up rather than the fact that they essentially, that they beat a member of the band to death because of this dumbass hazing ritual. So they knowingly told them what to say to misdirect police away from them so it would be so they would not suspect foul play. It just I can't fathom like the conscience that they had, these people had, A, partaking, and B, lying to police, knowing that they partook in this and severely hurt one of their band members, and then were like, yeah, it might have been heat exhaustion, like, I don't know, I wasn't there. It just, like, it's awful. Like, it just, and like, hazing is such a huge issue around the country, like, just in college in general, and I mean, it, I don't know how people come up with these, like, rituals or these, like, things that people have to go through, and the thing is, like, because a lot of times when you're, like, rushing or whatever, you're, like, new to college and you, you know, want to find your group, and, you know, you want to do what you, like, have to be a part of this. But, like, Robert didn't need to do that. And he didn't need to prove anything to anybody. But these band students, you know, I guess they thought, he thought he was better than them. And, wanted to physically push him to the limit, to see if he was. And there might have been, they may A, have gone too far, or B, did it knowing that they would inflict, like, serious damage or death. So following Robert's death, the band director and the president of the university resigned, and the full Florida A&M marching band would be suspended and didn't perform at all in 2012. Dante Martin would receive 77 months in jail for manslaughter and felony hazing, who, like I've said, was the ringleader in the hazing death of Robert. Jesse Baskin received 51 weeks in county jail after pleading no contest to the manslaughter charges. The others involved in Robert's death received a mix of community service and probation charges, which is not nearly enough for their participation in the hazing. They had originally faced up to 20 years in prison for the manslaughter charges and were sentenced to, like, about a third of that, which is mind-boggling considering the extent of Robert's injuries and a lot of the maliciousness behind it. They just took advantage of this hazing situation, and they were like, we're gonna go all out, because they didn't like Robert, and this was an advance, this was like a time to take advantage of that they could, I guess, like, mask their violence as part of hazing, and, you know, just really take it out on him, and it just, like, this story was just so incredibly sad, and just hearing from his mother and his family and just how incredible and kind and, you know, just upstanding Robert was, and to have him dedicate his life to music and performing and wanting to come back to his high school to be the band director, and then to have people who he thought, I guess, you know, shared that same passion and love were the ones that wound up killing him is just, it's hard to wrap your brain around, because it's just, it's so awful. And he was just killed in such a vicious way. And I don't know if they, I mean, I would have to imagine that they have put down the hammer on hazing and these, like, quote-unquote rituals that the Marching 100 partakes in, not only because of Robert's death, but also the prior incidents. But, I mean, people are gonna do what they want to do, and, you know, have this this thought that somebody needs to like prove themselves as a leader or, you know, to be initiated into this group, which you don't need to be. And it's, the whole thing is just incredibly unfortunate and sad. He was just taken way too soon in such a horrific way, that was just so preventable. It's just a story that I still have trouble wrapping my head around because of the fact that it was just so vicious. And the fact that the people responsible did not get nearly as much time as they should. Like, even the ringleader, like, even Dante, I do not think got enough time at all. And I have to believe his family probably believes the same, but it's just, it's so incredibly sad, and it's also even more sad when there's instances of people dying in hazing to try and be a part of a group, and things just get taken way too far when it's just somebody wanting to, just an innocent, you know, innocent person just wanting to be accepted and be part of this bigger group, and there's this one obstacle they have to get past, and it ends up taking their life way too early. So that's the unfortunate, preventable, and horrific death of Robert Champion. And yeah, it feels, I don't know, just kind of strange to end on that note. This just feels, I mean, I know all the stories are a lot, but this is just very, it just feels a lot heavier. But I'll be back next week and see you soon. Toodles!